In the name of Jesus, amen. The sermon for this third Sunday in Advent, Gaudete Sunday, is according to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. You're invited to be seated. Now, I've often enough preached on the pastoral office because it's a topic that the scriptures speak about frequently. In this passage of St. Paul to the Corinthians, which clearly speaks also of pastors, I want to focus less on the office and more on the content of the stewardship. In other words, less about pastors and more about what is delivered through them. The responsibility of the minister is to be a faithful steward of the mysteries of God. St. Paul just comes right out and says it. Now, what are these mysteries? They are the things that are beyond human understanding. This means that the preacher is not telling you things that he has acquired by his sheer brilliance. He has not studied and made profound discoveries. He is not the deep thinker, or at least is not what he should be giving to you. Don't worry, I don't have deep thoughts. Won't be a problem, but in reality, you receive a message which is above and beyond basic human wisdom. God, the all-wise and omniscient one, reveals these things. The minister is merely a steward, a servant, a slave who passes on the gifts of the master to his fellow servants. Now, a bad steward is one who would throw away the most exceptionally fine gifts of the master and replace them with cheap trinkets that are worth nothing next to nothing. The mystery that is handed to you is the hidden knowledge of the gospel, namely Christ, the Son of God, who came in human flesh to redeem us. And the difference between Christian pastors and the Gnostics of St. Paul's day was they would say, yes, there are mysteries. Yes, they are secrets. Yes, you must join our secret cult society so that I may reveal them to you. Now, Christian pastors are like, hey, Jesus loves you. Hey, Jesus loves you. Their agnostics are going, are you giving that away for free? And Christian pastors are like, yes. So both the Gnostics were the people that always wanted to take the mysteries of God and hide them away so that you had to join their creepy little cult. But here, everybody's welcome in our creepy little cult. No, I'm just kidding. But it is the free gift of God that we don't say, you don't increase in levels to understand more gospeling, but it's something that's given freely. And that is namely that Christ is the Son of God who came to redeem us. The mystery includes the virgin birth, the two natures of Christ as both man and God, the fulfillment of the whole law and the person of Christ and the passion of Christ, the blood and death of God that he laid down his life on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. These and many other things are given to you not as bare facts of data that make you more knowledgeable, as in Gnostic, that's what that means. Far more than that, the mystery of God handed down to you is the living and active knowledge that creates, strengthens, and sustains a spiritual life that will last you into eternity. The mysteries of God are implanted in you forever by the divine action, not of my cleverness or wisdom, but by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that does not depart from you. If this mystery is transmitted to you faithfully, then it is far more valuable than a mountain of gold. If this mystery is preached to you without the mixture of human doctrines, then there is nothing you could ever do to repay God enough for what you have received. Forget for now about the steward who passes on the gifts. They are not his gifts anyway. Think of the value that God gives to you freely, and it has to be freely, because you could never repay the tiniest sliver of a fraction of the living, regenerated, resurrected word that he implants into you. Unworthy as we all are, he pours out a wonderful stream of grace upon your heads. Although we will also surely work hard in response to that his Spirit renews us in our new life, our life offered sacrificially back to him, it isn't to repay God. You never want to hear saying, "Oh, good job," from God going, "We're even." Worst case scenario is God saying, "Yeah, you don't need me anymore." So that's why we never talk in terms of repaying God for what he has done. There is no balance on the books that you can make good. Know the mercy of God lifts up sinners who would never pay him back, and he overflows our souls with his divine favor without limit. You can see why the Gnostics, hearing about this, would say, "Man, we can make a lot of money off this." These people are literally saying the universe is yours. The mysteries of God include the blessed holy sacraments. The washing of regeneration of water and the word is far beyond your comprehension. The salvation that creates new life in such foolish-looking way is hidden from sinful minds, yet God gives this mystery in spite of the limitation of our minds to understand. Mercy is not an intellectual exercise. Grace is not a thought pattern. It is the unmerited free gift of God for you. We could also list here the mystery of even divine absolution that we enjoy at the beginning of our services. The word of a pathetic man such as myself in your ears is the erasing of iniquity for the sake of Christ. For the man does not speak his own words. I'm not up here saying, "By the power invested me as a new Oregonian in Coos Bay, I bequeath." I tell you that because Jesus says this is right and good to give it to you, I give it to you. It's a big difference, isn't it? The very gospel of life comes in such a humble way that this is also rightly named a mystery. When such awesome mysteries come to us, the natural human thing to do is to find a way to devalue them. St. Paul speaks of one such way, which is to devalue the one who passes on the gifts. If he falls short in some way, then surely the gifts are better received from a better man. And trust me, there are plenty of better men than me. In many qualities, other men exceed me in charisma, success, eloquence, knowledge. Pick a virtue. You'll find someone better. But St. Paul says something so beautiful to us. This is how a person must regard us, as slaves of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. The small word "us" is astounding. St. Paul does not list out the very best of the apostles and say, this guy and Peter, oh, and me, we are servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries. No, he simply says "us." Ministers are the stewards of the mysteries put in place by Christ. Of course, not all the stewards are equally faithful. Some pass on the gifts less faithfully by mixing human error with divine truth. Faithfulness is the measurement we are to use when looking at a pastor. But so often we are simply critical of whatever quality we value most in the man. We pastors can be terribly nitpicky over the most ridiculous things. Like I said, you know, have like a bug the room at a pastor's conference sometime. We're goofy, but we're also nitpicky. But all this is to ignore the wonderful gifts of God. Focus on the pastor. What is God giving through the steward? Those are things of infinite value. The mysteries of God should flabbergast you, dazzling you with the generosity of a Lord who stoops down to unworthy sinners. If you can set aside your self-centered, fleshly egos for a while, then you can look with eyes of faith and see and receive the wondrous things of God. This is what St. Paul is telling us. These things of God, these mysteries, are such exceedingly fantastic gifts because they deliver Christ. The knowledge of Him gives Him. The words of Him cannot come to us without Him coming to us. The gifts He has earned are freely bestowed on us as slaves by the same Lord that purchased them for us. How amazing! That is the perfect message for Gaudete Sunday, isn't it? Rejoicing in the wonderful things of God. Who can fully ponder how astounding it is that Christ gives us Himself? We can see this in the Lord's Supper. Although it is always true, whenever He gives us His mysteries, He is the gift. Therefore, faith must be here to receive Him. The coming of Christ to you is the theme of this whole season. But you must be ready to receive Him with faith. The means of grace do not work upon us all that Christ desires them to do unless they are received in faith. This is not hard, since the Lord freely accompanies His mysteries with His Spirit, who gives faith freely. But do not think that just sitting in the pew and letting the words bounce off your eardrums is what I'm calling for, although I enjoy you being here. Your trust needs to be in Christ. You must value His works for you instead of thinking that you are offering something wonderful to Him. He must be the giver of the mysteries, not you. You must be the receiver of the mysteries, not Him. This is how it works, even at Christmas. You open a present and receive it with gratitude to the giver. You do not say, "You are honored because I am receiving your gift." Try that this morning, on Christmas morning. See how it goes. Let me know. Look at your mom and dad and say, "You are honored that I receive this." Meanwhile, sitting over there with no presents. No, just kidding. Oh, really? But that's not how it works. You are not doing your parents or family a favor by opening gifts any more than you are doing them a favor by God doing God a favor by being in His house. But we must be here to receive Him. The coming of Christ to you is the theme, this whole theme. But don't... But don't think that you not valuing His works is acceptable. Instead of thinking that you are offering something wonderful to Him, you must be remembering that it is for you from Him. That, to say it the other way around, is ridiculous. I mean, how lucky you are that to say that I'm opening your gift, but that is how our sinful flesh wants to receive the mysteries of God, as if God should be honored that we are doing Him a great service of coming to His house and letting Him give you free gifts. No. We are the unworthy ones, to whom He wishes to elevate with His gracious gifts, to lift us up. To the wise of the world, these mysteries are hidden. They will not see. They will mock and reject the most precious gifts in the universe. But to you, the humble and downtrodden, the Lord delights in making you his sons, to whom he shares the treasures of his house. Nothing could be better than that. Nothing. In the same way, the Lord, who is God, walked in human flesh among us. He was plainly visible, yet few understood who they were seeing. Even the apostles, he kept having to remind them. He looked like a regular guy, nothing special. The wise of the world rejected him, thinking certainly this was not the Messiah. But those with faith, this mystery in human flesh is everything: life and salvation, joy and blessing, forgiveness and redemption. But of ourselves, all we could create is death, error, foolishness, weakness, shame, and condemnation. But because of the mysteries of God in Christ Jesus, you are the righteousness of God, covered with his glory and holiness. Even if you can see the gifts of God, that he accomplished some good in your lives, we should say with Paul, I am not hereby justified. We should say this even if we lived with such care and diligence that there was nothing anyone could say against us. We're not justified by us, but by Christ. That is why we need him so desperately. And maybe I'll argue, not that we need him now more than ever, but now it's become more apparent how much we need him. By the way, before the pandemic, you needed him exactly as much. Now a lot of people are going, huh, I see that I do need him. We need his mysteries, or we cannot live. By faith in Christ, we are justified for eternity, declared innocent of all sin, and proclaimed to be his holy ones. He that judges me is the Lord, says St. Paul, and you can say amen. Let the Lord judge me with his death and resurrection, and that is the best judgment which anyone could possibly hope for. Please, God, do not judge me by what I have done, but by what you've done. Here we listen to the judgment of God in his house of judgment. His judgment is salvation for sinners who believe in him. That is how we receive him when he comes, and he will reveal the secret righteousness of faith that was hidden in us on the last day when he comes in glory. Then the word that he sowed in you when he came to you in this life will create a harvest of glory for you to your never-ending joy. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now confess our faith as found in the words of the Nicene Creed.